We're going to talk tonight about something the Lord has blessed us with. On New Year's Eve, I shared with you that the Lord had instructed me to declare that 2014 for this church, for this ministry, 2014 is the year of the gift. And when I heard that in my spirit, I began to question the Lord. I said, Lord, that, I don't get it. Why would we call it the year of the gift? And he said, well, just do it. And I'll reveal it to you as the year goes along. And so I declared in the name of Jesus that we would, for us as a ministry, this is the year of the gift. And so for those who received that on Christmas Eve, those of you such as myself that have took this by faith and begin to declare it, I have a question for you. If it's the year of the gift, have you received a gift yet this year? Yeah? Have you given a gift yet this year? Yeah? The Lord spoke to us by the Spirit, and he said that nothing is too small, nothing is too large. He said we would see the exchange of small gifts and large gifts. As an example of that, it could be as small as you're in the checkout at the grocery store, and the person ahead of you didn't change enough pesos into dollars. And their bill is $18.38 and all they have is $17. They lack $1.38 having enough dollars. And the store won't take pesos. So you pull out your billfold and say, I'll be glad to give them that $1.38. Take it out of this. A simple, charitable, loving, friendship, common sense gift. Gifting needs to become so totally normal that every day, even several times on some days, you'll find yourselves giving. And I want you to do this as a spiritual exercise, whether you believe it or not. And if you're willing to exercise it, I promise you, you will not be able to outgive God. All of a sudden, before the year's up, gifts are going to be coming back to you faster than you can give them away. Because God has a spiritual law called seed time and harvest. It was designed, first of all, for the farmers so that we'd have something to eat. There's nothing that we ever eat on our table or put in our mouth that wasn't a result of seed time and harvest. And everything you give in the name of Jesus, no matter how small the seed or how large, there's going to be a return. And I'm looking forward to this. It's just the more I look into it and meditate on it, the bigger it gets. This is the year of the gift. And we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. I guess that's what we're supposed to do, right? Look at scriptures. Yeah. I just feel like starting in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 16. I have questioned my own logic on this, why I would start with this, but I can't get away from it. I just need to follow my heart. Proverbs 6, what did I say? 18:16. Yeah. 2 years earlier, and we would have heard me sing a song. 18:14, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we fought the bloody British in the Battle of New Orleans. You want the rest of it? Awesome song. Grabbed an alligator, peppered his behind, shot a cannonball, and the gator lost his mind. I mean, it's the grandest song you ever heard. But we're in 18:16, I can't sing the song. War is over. Okay, go ahead. Say, he's a funny guy. What does it say in 18:16, Proverbs? It says, a man's gift makes room for him. Okay, where does the rubber meet the road? Where do we apply this? Where can I see this working? Who wants to volunteer? Raise your hand if you want to volunteer. Yeah, volunteer. No, I want to volunteer. You raised your hand. I want to use this man as an example. The Bible says a man's gift makes room for him. Let's say that I said something that I should not have said and I hurt this man's feelings. Now, I can close the door and never see him again, or I can knock on his door and say, "Brother, would you please forgive me? I just gave a gift." Asking forgiveness. I just gave a gift. And he just gave a gift in forgiving me. You can give of your time. You can give of doing what is the right thing. Okay, now my wife needs to raise her hand. Okay, we'll use her. I said something I should not have said, and I hurt her feelings. Now I can sleep on the sofa. Or I can go to Walmart and buy a dozen roses. And the man's gift makes room for him in the bed. Huh? Do you read it? Now, these are just simple illustrations. But a gift is a powerful thing. A gift is a very, very powerful thing. It opens the door of opportunity for whatever needs to happen, whether it be healing or restoration or a better life. A gift makes room. Barbara wants me to talk about pocket knives. There's one that says bass fishing on it. Little pocket knife. Over the years, I have given hundreds of pocket knives away, mostly in Mexico. We go to, usually between all of our teams, we end up going to around 100 pueblos in Mexico every Christmas to give out gifts. This year, Barbara and I were privileged to go to just a few, maybe what, 8 or 10 pueblos with our team because we didn't spend a lot of time there. But we go into a town in the rural areas, most likely be a rural area where we would go. And we go to the mayor's office, to El Presidente. And we tell him we would like to borrow the plaza. Or if the weather's bad, we ask to use a municipal salon. And we want to share Christmas with the town, especially the children. And we bring gifts to give the children. A little bag of candy with a small toy and a little Christian gospel tract on how to find Jesus as your Savior. And we do a Christmas program. We do the scenario, the pageant of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the shepherds and the wise men. And, you know. And we've, in 20 years of doing this, in hundreds of pueblos, we've only been turned down one time. One time. One out of hundreds. And the excuse was, whether it be excuse or the truth was yet to be seen, but the excuse was there's a funeral in town and we don't want to have something happy going on if there's a funeral. Anyway, leaving that aside. But after we received permission to give gifts to the children, I always give the mayor a pocket knife. I buy these by the dozen. In fact, the last time I bought this particular ones, I bought, I think it was 36 pocket knives come in one package. And I give these to the mayor. It's just a pocket knife, but it's man to man. Men like, "Here, this is yours. It's yours. Receive it in Jesus' name. It's just a little knife. It's yours." I enjoyed giving that. Very simple gift. Very simple. Giving is awesome. Now we're smiling at one another. My gift made room for me in your life now. A little bit of me is in your life. Yeah. Giving is powerful. And the spiritual gifts we give, when we give our testimony and share with someone what God's been doing in our life and introduce them to Jesus through our personal testimony, we have given a piece of our life, we've given our time, we've given our energy, we've given our testimony. It makes room for us. So that's a powerful scripture to start with, that a gift makes room for us. Go to Genesis, please. Chapter 1. There's something about men and pocket knives. I don't know how to relate to, I don't know what women give. Perfume or something, I guess. I'm not in that realm, so you girls will have to do that on your own. I just know what guys like. They like pliers, crescent wrenches, pocket knives, you know, things like that. Made friends with a school janitor a couple weeks ago in Mexico. And I gave him a little Christmas gift of two pair of pliers, wire cutters and the needle nose kind and the dykes, the snippers, you know. I gave this school janitor two pair of pliers. You would have thought I gave him a bar of gold. Men just like this stuff. And at that little town in Mexico, the school didn't even have a lot of that sort of thing. He almost cried. He said, "You have no idea how much I need this. Every day I need this sort of thing, and I don't have it." Simple gifts are powerful when they're given from the heart. Did you find Genesis 1? Let's start with the first verse. That's a good place to start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Do you see a gift here? God gave the gift of light to a formless, dark, chaotic, upside down, wrong side out earth. I apologize for the coughing. This, in my opinion, this is the first indicator that God gives gifts. He gave the earth light. He gave order as the creation story continues. We know that in 6 days, God created the various things, you know. He gave all of this order of creation to a chaotic earth that had no order and was formless and void of life. God shows us in the first book, in the first few verses, that He is a giver, specifically of life. Interestingly enough, in all of this beauty of creation, there was still a lack. There was no one to keep it and dress it and take care of it. And God gave His creation, specifically the garden He planted in this beautiful world. He gave His creation a gift. What was that gift? A man called Adam. Did you know that we are God's gift to the world? We are God's gift to the earth itself. We are God's gift to the earth. Now, we've known that. Spiritually, yes, you know, we take the gospel. We preach the gospel. We take the gift of God to all the earth and to all the world and to every creature. But did you ever think of it in the natural sense? We're God's gift to the earth. We're here to dress it and to keep it. My favorite comes along in chapter 2 when all of a sudden God realizes there's this lack in the man's life. And He gives the man the gift of what? Whoa, man. Men, that woman is God's gift to you. Now you ladies can ride that horse. God's gift. Thinking of light, in the first portion of Scripture we just read, where God gave light to the darkness. Are you ready? Simple illustration. I'll be my own volunteer. Let's pretend the lights are out. Excuse me, it's dark. What gift do I need? Simple illustration. God gave the gift of light to the earth, and He's still giving the gift of light to those that are willing to open their eyes and see. There's a lot of good people running around in this world bumping into things because they've not yet received the light of God. Jesus called us the light of the world. Interesting. That Jesus Himself would call us, His disciples, His followers, the light of the world. We are God's gift to the earth, to dress it and keep it. We are God's gift to the world, the social structure of the human race. We are God's gift of light to the world. As we approach this year, as we've already approached it, as we pass through this year, let's keep these things in mind, these truths and these scriptures in mind, that we are the light of the world. We are God's gift. We are God's gift to our family. We are God's gift to our community. We are God's gift to the place we work. Now, you don't get all puffed up in pride and say, you know, I'm God's gift to mankind. We've all met that guy. But we are. We are God's gift. And it's a beautiful thing to know. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. That's that really long chapter. And we're going to go to verse number 105, I think. As soon as I get there, I'll find out. Yeah. Did you find 119, 105? Here the psalmist is speaking of the Lord and to the Lord, and he says, your word is a lamp or candle to my feet and a light to my path. So as we make known the word of God in the earth, we are making light known. To make manifest the word of God is to make manifest light. And that word is a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. And every man, every woman, every boy and girl needs that light to walk the path of this earth. Without the light of the Word of God, we would be that guy or that gal stumbling and bumping into things the rest of our life. Thinking of gifts, I see people as gifts. I consider my wife and children as gifts to me. God gave me something in the form of a precious gift when He gave me this wife. And some guys say, well, yeah, my first wife wasn't really a gift, but my second one was. I mean, you never know. Friends can be a gift. A good friend can be a gift. God's gifts are all available to us, but they must all be accessed by faith. We have to see the gift and begin to reach for it, and then He gives it to us. All of God's blessings, all of His gifts are accessed by faith. Something we really need to deal with so that we can receive the gifts of God are the obstacles that stand between us and the gift. Things like pride, selfishness, love of the world. There's a lot of things that I call obstacles, hindrances, that prevent us from receiving gifts from God. One of the biggest obstacles is called doubt and unbelief. Turn to Mark chapter 11. In Mark 11, we have a very powerful scripture that addresses doubt. And we're going to start with verse number 22, Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Another translation says, have the faith of God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not what? Doubt. And does not doubt in his heart, but he believes those things which he says, it will be done, and he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Doubt in the middle of this passage shows it to be a hindrance. If a man does not doubt in his heart, what he says, prays, believes for, will come to pass. I wish I had a way of simplifying this part of the message to the point of childlike reception. A good parent will never lie to a child. And if the parent says, I'm going to buy you little Johnny, 3 years old. He's outgrown his shoes. The parent says, Johnny, when I get my next paycheck on Saturday, we're going to Payless Shoes. And I'm going to buy you some new shoes. Now, a good parent would never lie about that. A good parent would cash that paycheck on Saturday or put it in the bank, and they would get little Johnny, put him in the car seat, the booster seat, take him to Payless Shoes before Saturday's up. And if mom says, now Johnny, it's going to be around noon before we can go. And if I see little Johnny about 11:30 and say, Johnny, you're getting ready to go somewhere? And he says, yeah. Well, Johnny, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Payless Shoes to get some new shoes. Well, how do you know that? Because mama said when she gets her paycheck, she's going to take me to buy new shoes. Now, if this is a good, solid parent-child relationship, there will be no doubt in Johnny's heart. There's nothing I could do to convince him that mother has lied to you and she's not going to buy you shoes. He would argue with me until his face turned pink. Because he has no doubt. He believes with all of his heart that he's going to get some new shoes. I really believe that our Father God, when He made all the promises and wrote them down in this book, I believe that He meant what He said what He meant, and I believe that His promises are secure, solid, and without fail. And we need the childlike faith to say, my daddy said I can have new shoes. Oh, well, you know, God doesn't do that for everybody. The book is mine. This is my daddy's love letter to me, and he told me I could have new shoes. And I need to be like little Johnny, and no amount of bickering or doubt talk or unbelief talk should ever convince me that my daddy has lied. Like little Johnny, I should say without any doubt whatsoever, put my life on the line, my daddy said it, and I'm getting new shoes. And so we must get rid of the obstacles. What I just talked about was the obstacle of doubt. Get rid of the hindrance of doubt, so we can receive the gifts that our Father, who wants to give gifts, has listed for us as something we are eligible for. This is simple ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, simple teaching, simple arithmetic. But we need to get this, because our Father wants to give gifts to His children. He wants to bless us with health. He wants to bless us with wealth. He wants to bless us with wisdom. He wants to bless us with knowledge. He wants to bless us with all forms of prosperity in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in every realm of life. He wants to bless us, gift us, gift us, gift us. Because He's a good Father. And because He said the things were available to those who believe and do not doubt. Okay. I think we can all agree that the greatest gift of all is Jesus. And let's look at John 3:16. Most of us could quote this without looking at it, but we're going to look at it and read it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave." We could read it like this and still be accurate. He gave a gift. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was God's gift to us who believe. You notice here it's those who believe. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Just flip your page open there, one more page probably. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, Jesus here said to her, he's talking to a lady here, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, in other words, he was saying, if you knew I was the gift of God to you, I think it's time to make up our mind that Jesus is God's gift to us. Oh, and he's the gift of gifts. Look at Romans 6:23. Year of the gift. Everybody say that. Year of the gift. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the..." Another translation, in fact, the literal translation actually says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us the gift of eternal life. Anybody interested in living forever? Especially if we can make this all better. I mean, there's times when we go through various trials and challenges, we wonder if we want to live forever or not. Well, not like that, no. But things are going to get better. Heaven is a grand place. In his presence is a grand place. And the gift of God is eternal life. In Genesis chapter 1, he gave the earth the gift of light and life. And now he's given the believers eternal life. Wow. That reminds me of a scripture in Revelation chapter 2. Maybe we should look at that. Revelation chapter 2, and I'll need to find the verse. Give me a minute to find where I'm at here. I may have to read the whole chapter to find it. Where he talks about the paradise of God. Okay, are you looking with me? Look for the word paradise. Verse what? Verse 7? Who said that? Melissa, I don't have a gold star, but if I had one, I would give it to you. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The gift of eternal life includes eating, and I'm sure this is a spiritual application, but we, spiritually speaking, we will be able to eat of the tree of life and have eternal life. It's interesting that in chapter 2 of Genesis, God starts out talking about a paradise called Eden. In Revelation 2, he ends up talking about a paradise of God with the tree of life. And the tree of life is in both mentionings, both in Genesis and Revelation. We have the tree of life. But I'm telling you, folks, eternal life's a good thing, especially when it's in paradise. That makes eternal life a lot of fun when it's in the paradise. Let me just talk for a minute about gifts again. I want to share just a couple more scriptures, but before we do that, I just feel like I need to share a couple things on back down where the rubber meets the road, or where life application takes place on giving. It's good to show appreciation when you receive a gift. I just gave this young man a gift, and he showed appreciation. You can see it all over his face. Now, the opposite of that would have been, why'd you give me that? What am I going to do with this? I could cut myself. We need to show appreciation. We also need to be honest, or you'll end up with acorns. Now everybody's going, what's he talking about? A dear friend of mine lives in Agua Prieta, doesn't have a car, he rides a bicycle. He showed up in Douglas one day, and he said, do you like acorns? Well, he's a friend, you know, I've known him a long time, and I could tell he wanted to give me acorns. And I don't really like acorns. I've tried them raw, tried them roasted. I just don't really care for acorns. But a lot of people do eat them, like them. The indigenous people of years past, centuries past, depended on the acorn crops from the mighty oaks, even here in Arizona, as a food source, protein. But I didn't really want acorns, but he said, do you like acorns? I'd like to get you some acorns. And I thought, well, he wants to give them to me so much. I like acorns. Half truth, you know. And I thought he was going to give me, you know, a couple of acorns to eat. And he said, okay, I'll see you in a few days. He takes off on his bicycle. About a week or so later, I see him, and he has this little bag with about 3 or 4 pounds of acorns. I mean, big bag of acorns, you know. Here's your acorns. I said, where'd you get all the acorns? He said, oh, it's just a little over 20 miles. I rode over here on the road to Colonia Morelos. And about 20 miles, there's some nice washes that run through there. Arroyos, the oak trees are just magnificent, and the acorns are just plentiful. He had ridden his bicycle 20 miles to pick up acorns for me. I smiled, and I said, thank you very much. My brain's going, you don't even like acorns. But was I to receive from him gracefully? Or say, no, I was just kidding, I don't like acorns. I took the acorns, and I found them a good home, somebody that liked them, and I ate a few and gave a bunch away. But really, I should have been a little more honest in the first encounter and said, brother, you know, I like acorns, but really not that much. Don't trouble yourself. You know, if you want to get acorns, give them to somebody that really likes them. There's nothing wrong with being honest. This young man could have said, you know, thanks, but you know, I have several of these. Why don't you keep it and give it to somebody else? I mean, if that's what he wanted to do, we should be honest. So honesty is the best policy, or you'll get acorns. But if you get acorns, be gracious. Who can take me to the scriptures? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, help me, Eric, where it says God loves a cheerful giver. Who can help me with that? Is it 2 Corinthians? Yes. 2 Corinthians 9, somewhere along in there. You find it? 9:7, thank you. You get a gold star, brother. I'm going to need to get some stars. Like a good teacher always has stars to give the students, right? So let everyone give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to, not to add to the Word of God, but to use the Word of God, I believe I can properly say, truthfully say, that God also loves a cheerful receiver. Because giving a gift is a pleasant action. It's a pleasant manifestation of one's heart. And receiving a gift should also be pleasant. It's just, you know, like I say, simple message, simple terms, something like we would teach our children. But we need to know all we can learn about gifts, because this is the year of the gift for this ministry. And if we will start applying these simple principles today, on the eighth day, there's already 8 days into this year of the gift. We need to be well into this. We shouldn't wait till July the 2nd and say, oh, I forgot. This is the year of the gift and I was going to give some stuff. We need to be well into this. There are two kinds of gifts and both are very useful. There is a gift. Oh, Jesus, you really want me to do that? There is a gift of a pocket knife that I didn't really need. I have a lot of those little knives. What if I don't have it? But what if, okay, this is an analogy. What if I had my favorite pocket knife? We're going to pretend he's got one here. His favorite pocket. There's your favorite pocket knife. What if I said, here, this is my favorite pocket knife. Now, I've given two gifts. I gave one gift that I didn't really need. It meant nothing to me. It was just a gift. But then if I gave my favorite pocket knife, I just gave a piece of my heart. I do believe God wants us to learn to give both ways. When Jesus loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, he gave his favorite pocket knife. Where are we? 2 Corinthians? Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. That's just a few pages on beyond you there. 1 Timothy 4:14. Now, not to go deep into it, but we all know there are gifts of ministry gifts. There's prophetic gifts. There's gifts of orientation. What was it? Orientation. People that speak well. Orators. There's all kinds of ministry gifts. Ministry is some people like the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Some people have the gift of healing, gift of faith, gift of miracles. Okay, where are we? 4:14? Paul the Apostle here is speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says, do not neglect what? The gift that is where? In you. Which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership or the presbytery. Okay. Speaking as of Timothy as a minister. And most of us in one sense or form of the other, we are ministers. If we share the gospel with someone, we share life, the light of the word with someone, that's ministry. And so in that sense, you are a minister. Maybe not titled or ordained or licensed, but you still minister. So you are a minister in that capacity. And you can only administer or minister to someone based on what's in there. Because I can only minister to you what I have. So the word that's in me, the knowledge that's in me, the faith that's in me, the gift of speaking that's in me, whatever gift is in me from God, I need to never neglect, I should never neglect that. I should always be giving it, sharing it. Share the gift. You young ladies, I've been over there too long. Let me work on this side a little bit. Not only do you have the gift of beauty. I'm trying to get them to say amen, but everybody's embarrassed. Not only do you have the gift of beauty, you have the gift of grace. I know both of you personally to know that you can be very graceful. You have the gift of taste. You're tasteful. You have the gift of caring. You care for people. You have the gift of honesty. You don't go around telling lies. You both are gifted with beautiful smiles. You both have the gift of the light of the gospel in you because you're born again. You're new creatures in Christ Jesus. You are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth. You are Christ ambassadors. You are God's gift to the world as you carry the light of life and the gospel. And these things, these attributes, these traits, these talents, these things within your nature are on the inside of you. And so Paul would say, if he were here tonight preaching this, Paul would say to you, as he said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that's in you. And the way to, what's the opposite of neglect? Come on, school teachers, help me out. Pay attention to? Use. Pay attention to? Don't neglect the gift. Use the gift. Make known the gift. Share the gift. Pay attention to the gift. And it's back to the beauty thing. You be careful what guy you give that beauty to. I have to check him out first to say whether it's okay or not. Your dad and me, we say whether he's okay or not. While we're this close to James 1:17, just flip a few more pages and you're going to come to James right after Hebrews. Just a few pages from where you were. James 1:17. You there? Every good what? Yeah. And every perfect what? Yeah. Is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Remember, light was his first gift to the earth, Genesis 1. He's the Father of light, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Okay. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. And every gift that is within you, every gift that God has given you, every ministry gift within you came from God. Every gift in the realm of talent that you have came from God. Every gift of beauty that you were born with came from God. I knew a guy that had the gift of gab. I'm not sure that came from God. In English, we say gift of gab. In other words, witty, talk too much. I don't think that came from God. Well, there's a lot more on gifts. We're planning to continue on Sunday morning with the revelation truth that God's sharing with us about the year of the gift. And I want us to stay with this theme as long as the Lord allows it. I believe the Lord will continue to quicken us with various revelations along this theme as the year progresses, because it's the year of the gift. You see this building? It was built in 1919. According to an older man who is an electrician in this town for like 50 years plus, he's did rewiring, modernized the wiring of every old building in town. And he says, having been in the basement, having been in the attic, he says it's the best built, strongest, best built, quality, older structure in Douglas. Best foundations, best walls, best old building in Douglas. I take that as a compliment. In 1996, we were in a small church on 9th Street across from the Lions Club, where now the Spanish Seventh-day Adventists meet on Saturdays. But we owned that property and we had church services there. And we gave that property to another church. We ceded it. Gave it away. It was a gift. We received no money, no contract. We gave it as a gift. And God gave this building to us, Faith Ministries, as a gift. No money, no contract, no payments. It was given to us as a gift. That's two examples of how God can cause people to give big gifts. God will cause us to give small gifts like a $2 pocket knife. And He will cause us to give properties and automobiles and watches and jewelry and new shoes for little Johnny and $1.38 for the lady at the checkout counter that didn't have enough dollars. God's going to use us to give. And because of His law of seed time and harvest, you better be ready to receive. And the purpose is not for you to receive a harvest to get fat and buy golden faucets for your house. The purpose of you to receive the harvest and the return of gifts is so you'll have more to give as you minister life to more and more people, and you're going to need more and more things to give them. Let's all stand to our feet. Just close your eyes for a minute. Father in heaven, first of all, thank you for every gift that you have given us. Most specifically, salvation. Jesus as our Redeemer. Jesus, your Son, as our Savior. Lord, the gifts that you have given us are innumerable. We could stand here all night and speak of gift after gift after gift that you have given us. The gift of life, the gift of breath, the gift of health. It just goes on. The gift of our homes, of our families, of the substance, the natural substance of things, the clothes we wear, the food we eat. Lord, it just goes on. We could just spend time and hours. And Lord, your word says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you. And Lord, just saying thank you doesn't seem like enough, because the gift is so magnificent. And the magnitude of the gift is so huge that just saying thank you for the gift or thank you for all the gifts, it's just not big enough, Lord. So Lord, this is what I feel in my heart. Let us show our thanks. Let us show our thanksgiving. Let us say to you, sir, thank you for the gifts by the offering of our own self to be used of you. Let us, each one personally and individually, become one of your gifts to someone else, to a hurting world, to a dark corner that needs light. Lord, I will give you thanks by giving of myself. And Lord, I believe that we as a congregation, we would say, yes, Lord, amen to that. We will give you thanks, sir. We will show our thankful heart by giving ourself to you, that you might use us, that you might gift us to the world. Lord, wow. Thank you, sir, so very, very much.